Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Golf fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt, live here from the Casabella Design Group studios and the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And, of course, as always, I'm joined by the man with the best hands in the live podcast business, OJ McDuffie and Juice. I think Sam Marcoux is already in the chat trying to steal your title of the best hands in the podcast business. But those hands are feverishly typing in the chat.
Yeah, yeah, he's on fire right now, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, I guarantee, though, you know, from the tweet that we got earlier today, I think that, you know, that's fraudulent, Big Seth. I think it's fraudulent. There's no way he types that well. You know, I think that he's probably a bird pecker like I am, you know, where it's like, Seth can type. I know Chris, you know, Perk can type because that's what they do, man. But I can't type for shit, and I know Sam can't either.
There it is. Absolutely. Well, listen.
This party started right.
Yeah, we did get it started right. Let's make sure we introduce the crew if you're new to the show, although I do see a lot of regulars there in the chat. Of course, the legendary Savak on the bell, Sun Sentinel columnist, host of Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk, and the guest of every YouTube Dolphins-related show in town. He is Chris Perkins and the one and only Mirror Ball Trophy Holden. Silent Dino auction holding. Dominator. He is Chad Van Horn. Fellas, great to have everybody back. It must be Wednesday.
Must be, big dog. Yeah, and I'm telling you this, Big Seth, man, it's a beautiful Wednesday, man. It really is, man. We're getting closer and closer to what we've all been waiting for, and that's the start of a new season, man. Because every single year, you know, our football season ends super early. And so we got to wait super long to get into, you know, another season. So we're getting there, man. We are we are approaching June right now, and it's a special feeling right now, because once June hits, you got mandatory mini camps coming up, and you got training camps, and then all of a sudden, boom, we got a game, man. I'm looking forward to that, man. So yeah, man, we're pumped right now, especially on hump day.
Yep. Juice, you're skipping. I thought it's all about the process. We're supposed to trust the process right now.
That's
we're
right.
just trying to you're learn. Right. It's install right. all the stuff that we heard
right.
today
right.
from Jeff Hafley. That's what right. was my understanding. So OTAs are back. This is week two of OTAs. Is that right? Week two and yeah. second yeah. OTA open to the media. Was anybody else here besides Chris Perkins? Was anybody else in the building?
Negative.
So, Perk, we heard your voice. In fact, yeah. it was told to me, I think Sam and some other people, we can definitely tell which questions are coming from Chris Perkins. If you follow Fish Tank Live, you know which questions. I shouldn't just say Fish Tank Live because he was on all Dolphins podcasts earlier today. Dive Bar yesterday, Finn's faithful. Perk does the rounds. It's
I
unbelievable.
Do.
But we're born
himself.
To have you here.
Just born himself.
Well, I choose to say spreading the love, OJ. I choose to say it's a family program.
That's what whores do. No,
damn. Shots fired. You know what though? I feel special, Juice,
love
because
you,
I didn't see him with a dive bar hat on when he was in the dive bar.
No,
he sure
no,
as hell
loyal.
Ain't wearing a Montreal Expos hat when he's on the All Dolphins podcast. But damn it if he doesn't show up in that fish tank shirt.
That's right.
Chad's
yes,
rocking the shirt. I felt like I had to be one of the team today. So, yeah, good stuff.
What, I didn't get the memo. Savak, did you get the memo?
I most certainly did not. You see how he's calling us out like that?
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. He that under hit, you know, slid in there and called us out, man. Without we went, you know, not in uniform compliance right there.
Well, as soon as I send out the, you know, the announcement that we have a Wednesday night show, that's the memo, right? Like, that's the memo. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, here, Sam says, Perk uses the plug-in dial-up when you ask the questions. All right. There were a lot of questions asked of Coach Jeff Hafley today, Perk. What was the answer? What did Jeff Hafley say today that was the most interesting thing that you heard in that 20-something minutes that he gave you?
Obviously, a couple of things injury related. Devon Achane recuperating from an off-season shoulder surgery, and then right tackle Austin Jackson recuperating from off-season foot surgery. So those were the most interesting things that that Hafley said. I thought that a couple of other interesting things that he said was that Chris Johnson, the first round pick cornerback, will play inside and outside, and they are going to keep Caden Proctor on the left side, Jonah on the right side. They don't want to overwork these guys, overcomplicate things, so they want to keep it simple. Strawn Duggan, the defensive coordinator, had told us last week he was not sure whether Chris Johnson was going to play inside and outside because he didn't know whether Chris could handle it. But Hafley told us today, no, he will play inside and outside. So slot in the nickel and outside, we assume, slot in the nickel and outside in the base defense is what I'm assuming.
Yeah, I love all that, Big Seth. You know, I mean, you got to keep it simple for some guys. And the league is so crazy at the beginning for these guys. Learning, everybody's yeah. learning something new, but some guys yeah. have already learned how to learn NFL playbooks and NFL systems. So when you got some young guys, you know, you want to keep it as simple as possible. And I think that, you know, what I heard from half two on that whole situation was that, you know, Jonah played so much right guard or right side, you know, in college that he felt more comfortable there, you know, and his job really is to make sure Jonah has a better year than he had last year, which isn't hard to do.
Damn.
Facts. Facts.
Year than that, you know. I think that that's important. I think a lot of young guys need to be where they're comfortable, but you got to have some guys, obviously, that can cross-train. I heard the question, too, Perk, about, you know, with Austin Jackson missing time because of the foot injury that you just talked about, and Proctor, you know, Ford Proctor getting more reps on that right side. What was your opinion on that when I answered that question?
I'm going to trust the coaches on this one because, as I've said on here before, you know, there's been a couple of approaches to Dolphins left tackles, right? Laramie Tunsil played guard as a rookie. Patrick Paul was a backup left tackle as a rookie. They both seem to have turned out pretty well at this point. Obviously, Tunsil has more years than Patrick Paul, but so I'm just going to trust the coaches that, and I know it wasn't this coaching staff, obviously, it was different coaching staff, but there's different approaches that you can take. We aren't going to know whether it's right or wrong till we actually put on some pads and get to see them. So for right now, Juice, I'm going to trust them. I'm going to trust that they're doing the right thing. Keep Caden on the left side where he's going to be most comfortable. He played left tackle at Alabama. I would, you know, the big deal is if he's going to play tackle, Austin Jackson's spot could be open as soon as now, because he's not practicing, so why not give him some right tackle reps? Yeah. And I love Austin Jackson, but he just can't stay healthy. My man just can't stay healthy. But why not move Caden Proctor over there? And that was the Halfley answer. We want to keep things simple. We want to let him perfect his work on the left side at left guard before we move him to right tackle. So, that yeah.
You know, I'll fill you on that. Can I address the whole – you know, surgery thing. I saw a comment about, you know, imagine if, you know, Chris Greer had signed a running back or that was injured to a contract extension, blah, blah, blah. There are a million guys after every season, the perk you notice, that have surgery post-season. Some guys wait, like Austin Jackson waited. Some guys, you know, gut it out throughout the season. Some guys get it done because it has to be done. I mean, I remember when I was playing, I mean, we had like 10 dudes on Monday, 10 dudes on Tuesday, 10 dudes on Wednesday, getting some type of surgery done, some type of clean out done. Yeah. Some guys have major stuff done, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's just part of the game, man. It's like all these guys have had a lot of surgeries. I've had 11 total myself, you know? Mm-hmm. You would not even know about most of those surgeries because, you know, they don't talk about them.
There's no injury report in the offseason.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right, Nick said.
Yep.
Because and I'll say no this, just, you know what, you're right about that. You know, the paranoia level is a little bit down in the offseason, a little bit. But I'll say this, Halfley was very good today disclosing those injuries. Now, it is the offseason, it's May. There's no reason to be overly secretive, but still a lot of coaches would not have come forward with the specific injury, shoulder surgery, foot surgery. They might have said he had a procedure done, and he did say at first, Halfley did say at first he had a procedure and or he wasn't going to practice or something like that. And then I asked him a follow-up question, and he was very good about giving us the injury information. So my hat is off to Halfley for that. A lot of coaches still wouldn't disclose in the offseason that it was shoulder surgery or a procedure or a clean out or whatever, but he was pretty honest with us, so I appreciate that.
So, you know, Harvey used to do this thing where guy would come in as a rookie and I'd be like, oh, man, I love Jacob Rodriguez. He's such a down-to-earth dude. And Harvey would just go, he'll change. And that was always Harvey's line. You know, when the rookies, they always come in as nice guys. He'll change. I'm like, oh, man, have you met, you know, like Larry Izzo, like what a great dude. He'll change. And he would always say that. So that's my line to you, Perk. Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see a year or two from now if Halfley is as
poor. I say in September, he'll change. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, what's going to happen is, you know, when things aren't going well, you guys have to ask the tough questions.
Right.
You know, he was real giddy with you guys, you know, today. Oh, yeah. And I loved it, you know. But when things – and we saw the same – I hate to bring up old people, but we saw the same thing with Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel was all giddy. They started losing some games. Next thing you know, it was like, hell, this was a miserable press conference. You had to try to fry things out of them. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, man, Big Seth. I mean, I hope he doesn't change. I hope he's, you know – my dude, here's what you know me, Seth. You know, we were doing the post-game show. I love tone. Tone's everything to me when it comes to the post-game.
For sure.
We win a game. I'm all right with you being happy and giddy. We lose a game. Don't come with no happy shit with me. Don't. I don't want to hear it, man. You know, we all, thank you. Thank you, Savak. You know, we all came out here to watch a game and the team laid an egg or they had a chance and they didn't get it done. Or, you know, we've had so many coaches and players, mostly players, that come on that podium after the game and everything is hunky-dory. Like, hell no, man. Like, I get sometimes. I see Wimby got in trouble for not showing up to a presser or whatever. I get it, man. When you lose, you don't want to be in there, but you have to step up to the mic.
Be a pro.
Be a pro. You know, and But same time, though, man, I get when you don't want to and you're not ready to ask any questions, man. Marshawn Lynch said famously, I'm only here so I don't get fined. You know what I mean? That's what I would have done, too, at times. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as soon as he retired, he became a media darling. How about
all over the place with it. He'll change.
I think, though, that it is being a pro sometimes to not show up, honestly. Because if you know you're going to say something that might last, it might be better to deal with that headline that, you know what, you get chastised for missing a media day. I get being a pro, but if you have one of those nights or one of those days and you know that, you know, somebody like Chris Perkins is going to ask me a question and I might just go off on his ass.
As the former PR guy in the room, Chad, and I understand your point, but I would say, number one, if you don't show up, then your teammates have to answer the questions for you. And that's the biggest issue, right? So there is a professional responsibility. It just comes with the job. Like, one of the things you're required to do is talk to the media post game. But the thing is, if you are the guy that screwed up, I love him to death. It happened with Lindo Mari one time. He missed a kick to win the game. We lost the game and Lindo bolted out. He felt he was frustrated. And Lindo, you know, again, love him to death. Great dude. Mm-hmm. But other guys were pissed, and some of it might just be that kicker thing, right? You have one damn job. But the other thing was, like, then they're all having to answer this thing, and everybody else in the room felt like if Lindo makes that kick, they all leave as winners, and yet they're having to answer questions about losing because the guy who missed the kick wasn't there. And well, so that's what I would challenge with regards to that point.
Well, OJ's part of this. Were the laces out, though, is the real question. The holder, I feel like, should be responsible.
Maybe it's always on the holder, man. The holder's got the hardest job, though, man. And the center always do a snap it. Kicker's got to just kick it. Holder's got to receive it, place it, spin it, all this other shit. You know what I mean? It's like the holder's got the toughest job, man, that, you know, damn, I'm already on three already, Savak.
At least.
I'm going to have to mute this damn thing. You know what I mean?
You were heated 10 minutes before we pressed play on
this. I tried to get him out of the way, Big Seth. I tried to get him out of the way, man.
You were fired up. So I love Mike Oliva said in the chat, he wishes Tua had skipped a few pressers.
Yeah.
That might support Chad's point. That could support Chad's point.
Right.
So here's what stood out to me in the presser. Anybody a fan of the movie Good Will Hunting?
Absolutely.
One of my favorite movies of all time. Mm-hmm. Top five, mm-hmm. maybe top three of all time. Well, Halfley was asked what he looks for in a nickel. And he gave this great answer. But all I could hear was Will Hunting being asked why he wouldn't take a job with the NSA. And I just saw a parallel. Savak, play the tape, man.
I'll try to make it brief.
But I'll take a shot.
I mean, there's a couple things. On early downs right now in the NFL, so say early downs, first and 10, second 1-6, which are typically more of your run pass downs, right? Where it's not just leaning heavy pass. So you got to be able to play the run and the pass.
Say I'm working at the NSA and somebody puts a code on my desk, something no one else can break. Maybe I take a shot at it, maybe I break it. And I'm real happy with myself because I did my job well. But maybe that code was the location of some rebel army in North Africa or the Middle East. And once they have that location, they bomb the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed.
You got to have a guy that can play the run and fit in the box. So what does that mean? You know, a lot of the nickels have to have some size to them so they can hold up and be durable, whether that's playing inside gap, if your B gap's open to the bubble side, or whether it's to play the edge, whether it's to blitz off the edge. I mean, there's certain times now where what teams are going to do.
Now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be their kid over there getting shot, just like it wasn't them when their number got called because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard. It'll be some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks.
They're going to come out in certain formations and get your nickel on one side, then they're going to motion you fast, so now the nickel's in the box, and it might look like the nickel's a linebacker, and there's nothing we can do about that, right? They got you in a bad position. So that guy's got to have some size to him, and he's got to be physical, and he's got to be tough. Chris has some of that.
Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices. A cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon.
Then there are certain situations that are, you know, second and seven plus, third down situations where there's more pass, and you have to have a guy that can play in coverage. If you want to play man coverage, he's got to be a guy that can cover slot defenders. If you're playing certain teams that their best players are slot, now you got a guy to get a guy that can play the run and cover potentially one of the best receivers. If you don't, then you have to have a variety of that and call it different things, whether it's an early down nickel, whether it's a big nickel, whether it's a third down package where you're bringing in another corner.
They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the North Atlantic.
You're asking for a very versatile player in the NFL right now to be able to do all those different things. We're trying to figure out which of those he can hold up and do and handle.
So now my buddy's out of work. He can't afford to drive, so he's walking to the fucking job interviews, which sucks because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids. And meanwhile, he's starving because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker State.
Does that answer your question?
Well, there you go. I mean, that's all I heard. What he just said.
You missed some dings there, Savak. There were a couple of dings. What were the dings?
There were a few dings. There were a few dings.
We're not covering them. Just juice.
Oh, my. Just juice. Just juice.
That tells me, Seth, of what this team had been missing for the past few years and what they tried to do with Jalen Ramsey in the final couple of years. But, I love that answer from half. He went in the weeds, didn't he? I mean, he went in the weeds.
Yeah.
He definitely did.
What they told me. Go ahead, Chad.
I didn't understand 50% of it at least. That sounded like my daughter talking to me for 50% of it. I was like, hey, that sounds like fun. Like, yeah, okay. We're going to beat that. We're going to do this, and we're going to motion, and then we're going to be fucked. It's going to work out because we're going to have big guys.
Yeah. It showed me, man. It showed me a man that knows ball, bro. You know what I mean? He knows defense. And that is the most important thing moving forward for this football team, man. And you're looking at guys that can play those multiples, man. It's so important. And his scheme requires some guys to learn a lot, man. But he was so on point with that. And that answer was like, I think you guys in the room, Perk, had to be like, you know what? This dude here, he knows ball, man.
He's on it.
We're getting more of an answer than, you know, we've ever heard from anybody, coordinator side or whatever it might be. He really encapsulated whatever that question was, which was really mostly about the nickel guy, whoever it's going to be, big guy, little guy, whatever it might be, that can play multiple, that's got to play the runs, got to play 11 against 11 coverage or 11 personnel, things like that. And I thought that was so deep, man. And I know that, you know, there's some guys that, you know, on this football team that, you know, have to be able to do that. And for him to break it down like that was special, man. So I'm excited about what he's going to do defensively, but just listening to that, those clips alone. You know, I heard the whole clips without the Good Will Hunting clips in it, but they all sound the same. Like, you're right, Big Sam. It's the same thing, but it's that same brilliance that we're talking about when it comes to what he was talking about and the same thing that Half is talking about on defense, man. So that was really, really deep for me.
It's funny.
You know what?
Go ahead.
You know what's kind of second level about that also is that you hear Half say that, and then you go out and watch the practice and you see it. And, you know, you see it being done on the field that they're, you know, I guess I can say this. We can't give away, you know, formations and personnel.
Careful, Bert.
You'll see. Look, I'm not going to give away. You'll see Kyle Lewis in the nickel. Right, you'll see Chris Johnson in the nickel, and you know Kyle is one of those big guys he was talking about. And, and I think the question was about Chris Johnson, and he was kind of talking about the versatility. But you will see you will see the experimentation, you will see the personnel changes of just what he was talking about with those requirements if you pay attention to practice, and that's what we saw out there today is what we saw last week.
So, Perk, you got those this presser before the practice, which is kind of nice, right? So you can go out there and like, all right, here's what he's saying. Let's see what we can see about what he was saying. I also heard him talk about which side of the ball, which side of the sideline, or whatever you guys were looking at, And so you guys are more focused on some of the stuff he said from the presser and took it out to watch the OTA.
Yeah, but you know what? I prefer to talk to the coach after practice, because if there's injuries or if there's things that we saw, like today, Aaron Brewer wasn't out there. We didn't know that before practice, so we couldn't ask them about that. We don't know if that was injury-related or contract-related. Whatever the case, he's going to be out there Tuesday when we're out there next, because it's mandatory. It's mini camp. But, you know, he did break things down, and he does break things down very well. I'll tell you this, one of the things that we see out there a lot in practice is a lot of coaching. Player to player, coach to player, coach to coach. So today we saw Jeff Hafley after the cornerbacks were doing a drill, and then they went to do something else. Hafley is out there teaching one of the defensive back coaches about hips and hand placement and all that kind of stuff. So Hafley wants it done a specific way. I need it coached a specific way. You see a lot of teaching out there during these OTAs.
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
What they're for, right? I mean, that's exactly.
Well, and also, well,
but I'll say this, but before, you know, with McDaniel, that was a win now team, and it was fairly established, and you didn't see as much teaching, and you saw some teaching, but you didn't see.
That's why nobody knew where the hell to line up for 4 years. That's why they did, right? I mean, 4 years in,
oh my God.
Nobody, Deuce was going to jump through the damn microphone if he heard them say that there was miscommunication one time.
Oh right. My God.
Even, you know, I'll give Tua credit for this. He was the one guy that knew the damn playbook. He knew the playbook. He was orchestrating the whole damn thing. Nobody knew where to line up. It took forever to get the plays in. They were consistently pre-snap penalties. Maybe freaking coach somebody in OTAs instead of showing them your watch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the more than pre-snap penalties, Big Seth, it was alignment already. You know what I mean? Yeah. The whole thing is triple A. It's triple A when it comes to offense, right? You get the assignment, the alignment, and the adjustment. You know. They get the assignment. They didn't know it. They didn't know the alignment because they were on the wrong side half the time. And you can't make an adjustment when you don't know what the hell you're doing, you know? And that's what I saw more than it was a circus act out there, you know? And that's because you got 22-word plays going on as well. But 22-word plays honestly tells everybody exactly what to do. If you go out there and say, you know, Jets, you know what I mean? Then that's when you got to really use your mind to know what the hell your job is right there. But when you got 22 words, every word is telling Savak, Seth, Kirk, Chad exactly what to do. And they still flubbed it up, Savak. They still flubbed it up.
There you go. Perk, wait, I got a question for Perk real quick. Perk.
Yep.
So when we go into depositions, you know, we have to set people up, right? You got to get them feeling comfortable and whatnot. Like, how do you get a coach feeling that comfortable with
– great question.
With you where – you can get a real answer out of them instead of just the political answer. And what are some of the strategies that you use as a reporter?
You have to know the coach and you have to know how to read the room. So for me I'm a columnist now. I used to be a beat writer. So I always say in a press conference, the injury questions and the beat writer questions should come first. So that's why today I was writing the notebook. I wasn't a columnist, I was a beat writer. So I asked about Achane, I asked about Austin Jackson. And from that, you kind of learn about the future. So last week I asked, is Achane gonna be out there today? And he said, yeah, Achane is gonna be out there. Then I went to somebody else. I learned from that, Chad. Achane was out there, but he wasn't practicing. So I need to be specific. So today it was.
He was honest. He answered honestly.
He was very honest. He was very honest, Chad. Like, right, he was very evasive, but he was very honest. He lawyered up, right, basically. So today it was like, would he be out there and fully participating? And so that's how you kind of learn how to. And so that's how I learned about half personality and how he will react to questions. We'll learn how he reacts after a bad practice. We'll learn how he reacts after a loss. And then you kind of figure out how to gauge it after that. But it's a learning process. And he learns who is the jackass in the media group and who's going to ask the tough questions and who's going to ask the softball. We're all learning each other, but that's a good question. You have to know how to read the room, read the coach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Perk, let me ask you this, Perk. Let me ask you this, Perk. Do you think, I feel this way about his personality. He's cool right now, but there are going to be some tough times in there for you guys as well, because I think that he's a no-nonsense type of dude. He might be fun in games and having fun right now with everything, but I think at some point when things aren't going well, he's going to get a tough question. We're going to see a different side of Hav. Not a different person, but just a different side of him, because you can't just be, you know, if things aren't going well, you can't be, you know, Mike McDaniel about everything or Tua about everything.
Right.
You know, so I think that the fact you guys are building this rapport is nice. Look, I had some people I don't even talk about my legal issues at times, you know, because I haven't had any major ones, but I've had some lawsuits that went on. But the other side buttered me up. I'm signing autographs, taking pictures and shit, you know, for their kids. And then all of a sudden, they hit me when I was
that hammer comes down.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. So be careful, Perk. Be careful, Perk. Be ready.
Yep. Oh, no, I'm ready. And I'll tell you this. So, you know, when I asked him last week about the wide receivers, and I specifically said, because I wanted to put a qualifier in it, it appears you aren't going to have a number one receiver in the Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson mold. I didn't want to say you aren't going to have a number one. Devontae Parker was a number one, but I was just saying you aren't going to have a future Hall of Famer. Is that okay with you? Can you get by with three number twos and a number three? Right. And he got kind of serious. He was like, I don't think you can say that. You can't say what I'm going to have. Let's let these guys get out here and let's coach them up. And it was like, don't you dare put a ceiling on my guys. Like, don't you dare do that. It's like, you know, you aren't going to have a Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson. We all know that. But he was like, no, you don't know that. So that told me he was a little defiant. He was a little combative in a nice way. But Juice, that told me, you know, don't play him. Don't try to play him. Like, he's going to push back. So I like that. I like that with Hav. I like that. Yeah. We're going to learn stuff about him.
Yeah. So you think about that, Big Seth, real quick. Like, you look at some of the teams in the league. Did anybody think that Puka would be a number one?
Nope.
You know, I didn't know
Puka Rams
would be a number one. The Rams, you know what I mean? I didn't. Rams, well, they might have. You know, I think what Hav says is that one of these guys is going to emerge. What we're talking about. Somebody's going to emerge as the number one guy, and we're going to let them fight now. It's on them to figure out who wants to be the top dog when it comes to that position, you know. And I like that about it, you know. That's important, man. You got a whole bunch of dudes that, you know, have all a clean slate that get to go out there and fight to be the number one, the number two, the slot, whatever it might be. Whereas a lot of times you come into a situation where it's already established. Tyreek's already your guy. Randy Moss is already your guy. Some of these other guys. Randy Moss went to Minnesota. He wasn't the guy yet. Chris Carter was. You know what I mean? And you become the guy, you know? So
17 touchdowns later is rookie season, right? Yeah. Then he was,
Exactly right.
So there was a question in the chat from Anthony a while back, and he was asking, this goes back to the Proctor question, and it was Omar's question. Omar cracked me up because he's like, I know you guys want to move, you're thinking of him as a tackle. Why don't you just do it now? I thought that was kind of funny. But the question was, and I guess it's not limited to Perk, but it was directed to Perk, is that isn't it easier to teach a guy to move from left tackle to right tackle than it would be to go from tackle to guard? Now, Anthony said a position he'd never played before. I thought Proctor had played some guard, but that was the question. Is it easier to just switch sides than it is to move inside and play a different position?
I think it largely depends on the individual, because nowadays we're seeing a lot of tackles get moved to guard. I would say over the last 10 years or so. And before, it was really different body types. You know, the guard was that 6'2 squatty guy. Now you're seeing guards at like 6'4, 6'5. So I think it really depends on the individual, but I'm going to defer to this coaching staff and them knowing their personnel, because like I say, with Tunsil and Patrick Paul, Tunsil played guard. Patrick Paul was a backup left tackle his rookie year, and they both have turned out pretty well. So I'm just going to defer. I'm going to defer to the coaches, and we'll see how Caden Proctor does. Maybe he can't play guard once the pads come on and they have to move him to tackle. But I think the easier move, what you refer to, probably depends nowadays more on the individual. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Juice, but I think that the body types used to be so different, but now they're a little more similar.
Well, you know, they're so big now that Tua couldn't see over them, you know what I mean? Yeah, it really is. These guys are huge, and they don't look it, Burke. In person, they don't look like 300-pounders compared to the roly-polies that I played with, you know, that were guards especially.
Juice, watch your mouth. They can probably still take care of you. So you got to be careful. He's a roly-poly right now. I mean, I got you back, but to a limit.
We got open carry down here. We got open carry down here, Chad. We live in Florida, man. It's open carry, man. I'm not going to waste any time on no big fellas, man. I'm not going to win. I'm not winning any fights. I'm not getting any more fights, man. You know what I mean? So I'm not worried about any of that, bro. You know, but, yeah, I mean, this guy, they were, 6'2", 305 pounds, and they were round. They were. Now these dudes are 6'5", 6'6", 6'4", you know, and you see them out of path, you're like, who's that? You know, they look more like basketball players nowadays than they did football players, man. And
Juice, we saw that this weekend with Alec.
Yeah. Man, yeah, Alec Engle. Yeah, Alec did not look like a fullback, did he? The whole night. And shout out to the Jason Taylor Foundation, you know, for the Community Hall of Fame Awards this weekend that we were able to go and attend and had an absolute blast at. But every time, and Alec Engle was one of the recipients of one of the Community, you know, Hall of Fame Awards. And every time Chad saw him, he's like, man, that dude ain't no fullback. That dude ain't no fullback. I said, Chad, he's 230, 235. He said, no, he's not. He kept sizing him up all night.
Well, just I said it for two reasons. One, because he obviously he's an athlete, but he just wasn't a big guy as a fullback. But two, when he gets on a microphone, he speaks like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
He really does. Yeah.
He's great. He's too smart to be running into these big roly-polies, as you call them.
When he wasn't drafted, Chad, out of Wisconsin, he got an internship or an apprenticeship with Oracle. And he took it. And he was, he was ready to go to work. And then, then the Raiders called and, here he is, however many years later, in a Pro Bowl under his belt and whole thing. But yeah, that dude's got the future is bright for Alec Engle.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Sharp dude. He was one of my favorites. I hated to see him go.
I love the fact, Big Seth, that Alec does work with SOS Children's Village. We started doing that a long time ago at my foundation. And it's one of the most amazing places you could ever venture. So you would never even know about it. Seen Coconut Creek down here in South Florida. And they got the whole block, the whole street is theirs with a dead end cul-de-sac, man. And it is such a special place, where the best thing. If I could talk about it real quick, SOS is one of those places where kids are, I don't know, whatever reason they're taking it from their parents or they're away from their parents, but they keep all the siblings together in the house.
Yep,
you know what I mean. So if there's like five or six kids, they all stay together. Whereas a lot of times when things like that happen, kids go over here, over there, over here. SOS Children's Village keeps these kids together. And usually SOS Children's Village is usually in like war-ridden countries where parents are killed in war and the kids are separated that way because the parents are no longer alive. There's only a couple of them here in America, and one of them is right here in South Florida, man. It's just an amazing place. And I'm glad that Alec and a lot of other guys, I mean, there are a bunch of guys that once we started doing it, we're starting to go over there and visit. They started adopting kids. They started fostering kids. And that's what Alec's main, goal is, not main goal, but, he was fostered or he was, adopted. Mm-hmm. He was adopted. And, that's one of the main reasons that he does what he does, man. And SOS Children's Village is just an amazing place that, we used to go over there and have like basketball games and barbecues and, with the kids and stuff like that. I think the funniest thing Alec said, though, was they tried to build a library. Right, Big Seth?
Yeah.
Talk about what he said about the library, Big Seth.
Well, they wanted to build a library, but we had dropped off over the holidays. We got an arcade game donated.
Arcade game, right.
So we, it was like a full-size arcade game with and no tokens needed, no quarters needed.
Pre-play.
So I brought that over, and Alec said that was it. There was no more interest in the books once they had the video game in there. So we blew it. Jason Taylor Foundation.
I love it. That's the future of America. I love it, man.
I guess so.
I love it.
So too good. So listen, we're going to jump into, in a moment, we're going to jump into the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. And actually, Perk, you're going to find this interesting because this week the Legal Zone has some crossover with the Miami Dolphins and certainly the National Football League. We're going to touch base on that in a second. But talking about sad to see people go, The Dolphins lost a legend this week as well. We can't ignore that. We want to make sure that, you know, we make mention of Manny Fernandez, one of the all-time greats for the Dolphins, member of the 72 perfect season team. Many would argue should have been at least a co-MVP, if not the MVP of Super Bowl VII with his 17 tackles against Washington. And just a great guy. Guy Juice, if you remember, so we had Manny in the tank. We were able to interview him at Shula's during one of the alumni weekends where we got a bunch of guys. But that was right when we had gone from independent to joining the Dolphins podcast network. So we dropped the Ricky Williams episode, followed that up with the Manny Fernandez episode. So many great stories. Just a great storyteller. If you get a chance, I encourage you to go back and find that old episode of the Fish Tank. But, you know, Manny, Manny, rest in peace.
Yeah, Manny was a great guy too, man. I love guys like Manny that, you know, probably didn't get the flowers he deserved, you know, while he was here. And, you know, and I know for a fact that the fact that he got voted top 50 was huge for him, and like it is for all of us that were voted in the top 50. And, you know, to be able to spend that time with some of those guys, Big Seth, especially guys like Manny Fernandez, you know, I sent you the picture of me, him, and Sam and Jim Jensen, you know, when, you know, we were, you know, enjoying that time on the field. I was like in awe, man. I was the only one. Tad and Savak, I was out there with a selfie stick, man, like a little kid, man. You know, those moments don't come around very often where you get to be, you know, part of that type of group, and especially when you got so many guys who are on that perfect team. And they, the smiles on their face, especially on Manny's face, you know, being recognized for what he had done for this organization was special. And I know he still hangs in the rafters there, you know, and then, you know, in Dolphin at Hard Rock Stadium, man, and as well deserved, man. But he was just a special guy, man. And yeah, he will be missed, man. It's hard to get some of these guys that played back in the day to get them back there because they're getting up there in age, man.
Yeah.
You know, and and so it's tough a lot of times with some of these guys, man. We think about 71, 72. Hell, I was 2 and 3 years old at that point. Now I'm almost 57. So
damn. You know, hey, did Juice freeze?
No, Juice said, "Homie, don't play that."
Homie, don't play that, Perk. You know it, man.
Hey, did you see Savaki was
looking? I was trying to figure it out because he really wasn't moving. He froze. He stopped.
I didn't even blink. My eyes are definitely on Big Seth. Well, there you go.
I knew that. There you go. I've seen that on the basketball court. I know exactly what that means.
No doubt about it, man. Rest in peace, Manny, man. You were definitely a great Dolphin man and a great, you know, representative of what we do down here in South Florida, which brings all of us together from 1966 all the way up to 2026 for sure.
Love it. Love it. Great stuff. So we're going to jump into the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. And then we will wrap things up with an explosive I tried to tell y'all. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what anybody's going to say, but I'm predicting it. So, Chad Van Horn, in the news, we have found out that the Supreme Court will not intervene in the discrimination suit that was filed by former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores against the National Football League. What can you tell us?
So first off, the Supreme Court of the United States of America got to review this case. And I am actually a member of the Supreme Court, and I have appeared in front of Justice Roberts, which is one of the coolest experiences of my life. I was swearing in two of my former law clerks. They gave me a script that I had to read word for word. And they had a guy that had a hook right next to me that if I went off script, I knew the consequences. So I read the script word for word, and Justin Roberts was a gentleman. And then I said, "Well, what's next?" He says, "Well, you can leave." I guess that was my cue. So anyway, so this is the perfect story for me because it's got the legal, got the Supreme Court. It's got the Miami Dolphins head coach. It's got a former Steelers coach.
Yep.
All wrapped into one. So this case just took a major turn because the Supreme Court declined to take the NFL's appeal, which which means the lower court ruling stands. So NFL cannot force the discrimination claims into its own arbitration system. Does anybody know who hears the arbitration?
Goodell.
Goodell.
Yeah. It's a great system if you get to design your own, like, judge, jury, and executioner. Right? Was that Judge Dredd back in the day?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Absolutely.
Yeah, right? So it's a big deal. So this does not mean that Flores proved discrimination. Wink, wink. It does not mean that the NFL or the Dolphins are guilty of anything. What it means is this is going to move forward in open court. So the big deal, and we talked about this a little earlier, Perk, is that means there's discovery, there's emails, there's texts, there's notes, there's depositions, the Rooney Rule, another Pittsburgh connection, communications, and internal NFL records could all become part of this case. We got a taste of this from the Gruden incident, if you remember that, but that was more like, those were more of leaks.
Right.
So obviously the NFL wants this handled privately. That's why they have these rules in place. Once it becomes public, that gives you a little leverage where now the NFL knows that they know what's going to happen next. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I won't blame Brian Flores either way. I feel like he's going to get one of those phone calls. Here's an offer you can't refuse type deal. But if you want to make a difference, you got to expose all those things that happened. And I will never blame somebody for settling and taking care of their family and dealing with that. But if there truly are things that are going on that are systematically holding down certain people of certain races, it would be wonderful if that came out, was exposed, and was fixed in the public eye. So this is going to be extremely interesting because there's no more appeals after this. This is coming out.
This is it.
The Supreme Court, there's only one justice that said they wanted to hear it. I'll let you guess who that was. But
Clarence Thomas.
He's really good at chugging beers at tailgates. Let's just say that. I'm not envious of Brian Flores and his legal team because it's a heavy burden going against an entity like the NFL. I mean, legitimately, like they're bigger than most governments. So
they're bigger than the government. They are the mob.
Yeah,
it's real.
A tax free mob.
Yes, and it, like this to me though is a huge win for the movement because they said, look. The lower courts made their decisions. They're sound decisions. We're not going to review this. Let it move forward in court, and let's see what happens. And that doesn't mean they're going to win, but that means that information is going to come out. And when information comes out, it might paint the league in a negative light. And we know the NFL is all about protecting that shield.
Protect the shield.
Protect the shield. So they're going to – I feel like they're going to find a way to make a deal – And I feel like this is going to settle soon is what I would guess. And if it doesn't, you know, God bless Brian Flores.
Oh, I'm excited. No matter what, it's worth the fight. If it is, I heard this the other day that the NFL made revenue upwards of $27 billion last year.
Yep.
With a B.
With a B. And that's revenue, not gross. Big Seth, you know, Pert, Tavok, Ted. Revenue,
yep,
profit.
Like my goodness, like that's. I mean, I know we talked a little bit. We got Amazons and all those, but the NFL is the mob, bro. Mm-hmm. They really are, man. And they, you see how they handle different situations. They're Teflon Dons. They really are, man. And we'll see how they handle this, man. Their best bid is to, you know, sell this thing quietly, but it's going to cost them a little bit.
Chad, really, let me ask you this. So if you're the NFL, you don't want discovery. You don't want all this stuff coming out. However, at the same time, you do want this trial, if it goes to trial, to happen when Trump is in office, right? Because a bunch of billionaires with the anti-DEI movement, right? It would favor you, but in the short term, you could lose, right? Your image and all these documents. But in the long term, you would almost certainly win the case. But at what cost? Am I reading that right or no?
No, I think you're reading it wrong because, again, this isn't going in front of the Supreme Court. This is going back to the federal court, the district court judge that already agreed that this should move forward in district court. So I don't know who the district court judge is, mm-hmm. if it's a Trump appointee or not.
Right.
If you're the NFL right now, like, and I'm sure behind the scenes they have been trying to push this. This needs to go away one way or the other. And yeah. and I think what they underestimated, because we talked about this, I feel like a few years ago, I think they underestimated Flores' resolve.
Mm. Yeah.
And the people yeah. that were around him. And I've never met the man. I might have met him once at a charity event.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I did meet him once at a charity event in Miami. He does not seem like somebody that's just going to roll over.
To me. Chad, do you think they've offered him already?
Oh, probably they've offered him many times.
You think?
Yeah. Many times. Yeah, he's gotten multiple offers. And I would guess, I mean, these are 7-8-figure offers.
Had to be.
That he's gotten mm-hmm. to make this
so,
go
so he away. Doesn't have a price, and maybe he doesn't have a price then. Maybe yeah. everybody's got a number. Maybe he doesn't have a number.
To me, what I'm reading, because I deal with clients every day, obviously not at this level. He does not have a number, and he is, for some reason, he's still getting hired. And the reason is he's that talented.
Yeah.
Right. He's that talented mm-hmm. and he's getting the job done. So he's getting hired probably at a discount too. If this lawsuit wasn't going on, he'd probably be a head coach somewhere.
Well, I was going to say he's not getting a head coach job, and there's not a doubt in my mind that part of the issue there. Certainly he's got whatever has been said about the way he managed this team when he was here or the people within the building. But it's if you sue the league, every one of those owners, I mean, you're suing all of them, right? And so that's a brave but tough position to be in.
And Seth, what's crazy though is if it comes out that they colluded to not make him a head coach because of that,
it's a whole other issue. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the damages are just increased by so much.
Yeah, here's the thing about it, Chad. You know this. It's not like back in the day where you go in the back of a restaurant and have these conversations on. You know, mm-hmm. it's going to be some emails. It's going to be some phone calls. It's going to be some things that are going to. When you go to discovery, that's going to mm-hmm. come out. It's going to be very – nobody wants some of the things to come out that they've been talking about or sending around the world.
And I'll leave it with this. When did it come out about that Houston owner, about the prisoners running the
asylum? Yeah, yeah. running the asylum, right.
Okay. Yeah. So and that was very small, I feel like, compared to what may come out.
This is huge.
If this isn't settled, so like
this is huge.
We're not going to see the results of this because time is on the NFL's side, obviously, because they could spend money. They, as you said, there's billions of dollars. They can spend money on lawyers, so they're going to push it out as far as they can. But once these things start coming out, I mean, it either has to settle or it is going to be massive.
You know, I'm reading one of these comments in the comment section, somebody said he's a rat. Well, he's a rat.
Now,
yeah. Here's the thing about it. He's a rat because you know. Here's the thing: when they sit there and talk about, you know, when they talk about which he claims that they were asking him to lose games, they're going to pay him mm-hmm. to lose games, and then when he doesn't do well, they fire him. You know, there's a lot of reasons he was fired, but that's really we didn't do well enough as a football team. You get fired. You asked him to lose games in the first place. You know, if that's the case. So a rat, man, get out of here with that bullshit.
No. I love rats that expose racism. If that's really what happens,
exactly right.
Yeah.
Right? You can beat the rat. You have my 100%. Support.
Yeah. I don't.
But I don't like the term rat.
I don't either.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's
know what they mean, but that's why I don't like it.
You're exposing systemic issues. And that's different. I don't care. I don't care if you're white, Asian, whatever the hell you are, like whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a whole different deal. I don't think that term's applicable at all. So, Juice, I'm glad you spoke up there and said something. Great LegalZone. Thank you, Chad Van Horn, for that. Time to roll into. I tried to tell y'all. Is there anybody opting out of this? I want to make sure so we can keep the flow. Does anybody have anybody not have an I tried to tell y'all?
I got one.
Everybody's got one. All right, let's go. Juice, you're up.
Well, I'm going to keep, since everybody's got one, and I know Seth has a, you know, five-part play for his, I believe. I'm going to keep mine short and sweet and to the point here. All right. I tried to tell y'all, and now I'm going to tell y'all again, the Dolphins, they're going to be just fine in a few years. You know, y'all out here panicking after a few rough stretches, well, a couple decades of rough stretches. You know, I have a 24-year-old and an 18-year-old kid, kids who have never seen the Dolphins win a playoff game. But it's not like the sky is falling. Just relax, y'all. Relax. Good organizations build the right way. They stay patient and they watch it click. Look at the Green Bay Packers of, you know, 20-plus years now. You know, they didn't blow it up every time they had a down season or seasons. They stuck to their process. Smart drafting, developing quarterbacks, culture continuity. You know, the Matt LaFleur era, multiple division titles, deep playoff runs, consistent winners, even though, you know, even through transitions from Rodgers all the way to Love. That's what sustained success looks like, not chasing quick fixes. We've done that before as an organization, chase quick fixes. And real talk, I know this from personal experience on the field. Most of you don't know this. I know Big Seth does, but back in the day, I played Marion Midget football. My team, the Marion Packers. That was my first tackle football team. When I was 10, we were just okay. Grinding, learning the system, figuring it out. At 11, we got better. He started fitting, confidence grew. Then at 12, we won the whole damn championship. Same team, same colors, same foundation. It just took a little time for everything to come together. That's exactly what Miami is doing right now. New front office, new coach, building through the draft, getting the culture right. It ain't instant, but the foundation is there. In a couple years, you'll be seeing the Dolphins making noise in the playoffs again, while everybody else who is crying right now will be quiet. That's what they exactly will do. Or, exactly right, or acting like they knew it all along. Pack patience and go fence. You know what I did there, Big Seth?
I did. Picked right up on it.
I tried to tell y'all.
Let's go. Go Pack, go, Juice. I like it. I like it. Straight from Marion. Good stuff. All right. We're going to keep it rolling here. Let's go. Savak, what did you try to tell us?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I got to say, Juice, I'm loving your use of dramatic pauses. Man, keeping me on my toes.
It's going to mess the AI up. I know.
It's not going to go through with that. But, yeah, unfortunately, I can't keep it too short because I missed last week. Fortunately, unfortunately.
There's no rollover minutes here.
Wow, yeah, I know.
It's
10 o'clock. Well, no, I'm just saying, you know, last week I had the opportunity, though, to go down south and visit my nephew, who's like a son to me. We got to watch him graduate from high school, and he graduated the same way his uncle, the legendary Savak, did, a proud Port Charlotte Pirate. I just wanted to put that out there. Once a pirate, always a pirate. But anyways, I'm sure y'all last week saw that the team released that video of our new head coach, mic'd up. And I don't know about y'all, but I rather liked what I saw and heard. Now, that there is a man who understands the game of football and knows how to teach it. And he was telling those guys not just what they need to do, but why they need to do it. And just those few minutes of him interacting with his team told me so much. That he leads with confidence, speaks like an authority figure in the room, that he takes studying seriously, and he uses good film of players to encourage and set the standard for them. And that, as he put in his own words, he coaches the whole team. Love it. Now, I did see in the comments that someone claimed they were getting flashbacks to Joe Philbin. And to that person, boo on you. All right.
I didn't see him picking up trash and telling people to tie their shoes.
I know. They're about to make me use the dirtiest four words that you can say on Twitter. You don't know ball. Those two men could not be more different. Now, Philbin was known for being detail-oriented, demanding, structured, which is perfectly fine, unless it's not working. And his reputation in Green Bay was tied to an offense that he helped oversee more than one that he fully controlled. Right. And his own stated approach was demanding, not demeaning. But his big issue came with the fact that he got there with absolutely zero head coaching experience. And it showed. And I remember thinking to myself, and I've said this before, why is this dude talking to these grown men like they're a Pop Warner team? Now, have
Marion Packers. That's what
Marion Packers, baby. Champions.
Been to Marion Packers. Hafley is described as a defensive coach who emphasizes clarity, discipline, physicality, accountability, and player development. All of that was on display in that video. And reports around his Miami hire also stress that he, of course, was the play caller on his side of the ball, which demonstrates that he was in full control of an entire side of a team in real time, which, when coupled with his college head coaching experience, of which Mr. Philbin did not have, paints a picture of a well-rounded football leader. So really, when you break it down, the only thing they seem to have in common is that they both came from Green Bay prior to getting hired as the Dolphins head coach, which tells us that then GM Jeff Ireland was on the right track, just on the wrong train. So all of that aside, one thing stood out to me about Jeff Hafley in that video. It was his energy, that banter, what he was saying and how he was saying it. He reminded me of someone. Now, let me preempt this by saying I'm not suggesting that he's going to be as good a head coach as this man, but he seems to have a very similar energy. And that man is Sean McVay. He sounded like him, he joked like him, and the players seemed really receptive to it. Now, like you guys, I was around for Philbin's tenure, and believe me, a word that was never used to describe him or his coaching style is energy. So it's incredibly encouraging to see it now. So hang in there, y'all, because the light is at the end of the tunnel. We will get there, and I've been trying to tell you.
It is not a train, Savak. It's not a train.
It most certainly is not.
There he is, the legendary Savak. Thank you very much. Back from being missing in action. So hopefully we don't lose you again next week. But no rollover minutes here on Fish Tank Live, okay? Just keep that in mind. That was okay. I thought you got it right in there. Dad Van Horn, what did you try to tell us?
Man, I try to tell y'all, first off, I keep it short and I keep it to the point.
Are you saying Savak didn't do either?
No, I didn't say anything about Savak. Why'd you even bring him up? So I try to tell y'all, we all joke about the Florida man, right? Everybody's like, Florida man did this, Florida man did that. But I tried to tell y'all that South Florida is full of philanthropic people like Jason Taylor, like O.J. McDuffie, the Jason Taylor Foundation, the Catch 81 Foundation, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Broward County, Legal Aid, like my Dancing with the Stars people, American Lung Association. We're doing events out here to help real people all the time. And I get it. It's not funny. It's not viral. I don't know why it's not viral, because we're doing some cool ass shit. You can ding me too. I want to ding you once in a while. Thank you.
Doubled up.
We are doing amazing things for individuals that need the help that are overlooked by a lot of people. So shout out to Seth. Shout out to OJ for all that you do for the community, because it's overlooked by all these headlines that people try to grab. But people in South Florida are really looking out for each other. And the community that we're building, the charities that are happening are really meaningful and making a meaningful impact on people's lives. I try to tell y'all, South Florida cares about our community.
Let's go. Chad Van Horn.
Nice, that's nice.
Fish Tank Live has heart. We don't just have jokes, damn it. That's heart. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to tell you this.
Your heart out like they did in Dumb and Dumber. Put it in that bag, hand it back to you, and give Chris Perkins the mic. Perk,
wait a minute. Real quick, before you let Perk go, Chad, you support every single one, though, bro. You know what I mean? Without having your own charity, you know, what you do is you support every single one of them, bro. I mean, you're at a charity event all the time. You're at all of my events. You're at Seth's events. You dance with the stars for your lung association. You know, that is what it's all. If people don't have their own charities, Big Seth, as we know, like, I don't have my own anymore. Thank you for shouting out the Catch 81 Foundation. We don't do our own thing anymore, but we try to support everybody else's charity, man. And that's what you do. You do, Chad Van Horn, man, and that's much appreciated. That's why you're the mayor of Fort Lauderdale, bro. The Vespa lawyer, mayor of Fort Lauderdale.
Appreciate it. Appreciate, nice. Appreciate that. You guys make it easy though, because it's so much fun to attend.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, Jeff does the heavy lifting. We do the fun part of it all.
Yeah. I make sure you guys have a good seat and you know how to get onto that auction website. That's what that is. All right, let's go. Perk, what did you try to tell us?
All right, I got a duel I tried to tell y'all, but I'm going to keep them both brief. The first one, I tried to tell y'all I love the 72 Dolphins. And we brought up Manny Fernandez, and that's why I bring it up. Getting to know these guys has been one of the true joys of my journalism career. Over 30 years, and, you know, just getting to know guys like Mercury Morris and Larry Little, Bob Greasy, Don Shula, Dick Anderson, all of these guys who I watched growing up. Somewhere out there is a third grade picture of Chris Perkins at Fernwood Elementary School in Chicago, Illinois, wearing a Miami Dolphins sweatshirt. I wore that because my brother was a Dolphins fan, and I wanted to be like my big brother. And so I had my Dolphins sweatshirt on in third grade, Fernwood Elementary. But you know, you hate to see these guys go, but it gives you reason to talk about them and remember them. It's a sad occasion, but it also brings some joy to my heart. I love, love, love getting to know those guys. That's part one of I tried to tell y'all. Part two, nice. And I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet. I tried to tell y'all success is not linear. There's going to be setbacks. On that note, Malik Willis was ass today. He threw some bad passes.
Damn.
I'm not lying. But here's the deal. He'll be back on Friday. I think they're off tomorrow. They practice Friday. He'll be back in minicamp. Malik, I think, is going to be fine. But he had some errant throws today, some wobbly throws today. I think he definitely threw one interception. It was a bad day for the passing game in both 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. But we knew there were going to be bad games, right? They're bad practice days. There's going to be bad OTAs. There's going to be bad games. It doesn't mean that this thing is going to fail. As Drew said, pack patience, pun intended. I think they're going to be okay in time. But today was not one of those days. Malik was ass. That's okay. He'll be back. Success is not linear. I tried to tell y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice. And I love that you saved the second one for the second one. That was a good move. So Vok is already clipping. Malik Willis was ass today. He's clipping that. So just know that, you know, if you get a call in the morning from Dan Nolan, it's probably a result of our upcoming
that.
Tweet.
I really don't need that.
I said what I said.
That's right. I said it.
Adversity is an opportunity. Oh, God. Come on, Mike. All right. Well, I have showed up unprepared for multiple weeks, but now that my event's over, I sat down to write and probably went a little too deep on this thing. But, fellas, I tried to tell y'all that curses aren't real. Or maybe I just keep trying to convince myself, because lately I'm not so sure. All fans have understandably been cursed over the past 2.5 decades, given the fact that in that period of time, the men in Orange and Aqua won a postseason game. Since the last time they won a postseason game, my podcast co-host occupied the corner locker in Davey training facility. Castaway was the number one movie at the domestic box office. And Devon Achane, Patrick Paul, Chop Robinson, Malik Washington, and 48 other players, 48 on the Miami Dolphins roster, they weren't even born yet. But I'm trying to tell y'all that curses aren't real. Now, I do remember my stepfather reading Mercury Morris's autobiography, Against the Grain, only to learn how the Dolphins legend buried a voodoo doll of Don Shula in his backyard during the 74th season and writing that the Finns would never win another Super Bowl until it was dug up. Juice and I asked Merck about this in the tank and learned that not only was that true, but he asked a guy named the Root Man to cast a spell on the Don right before the CLN game. And, well, no, curses can't be real, guys. Now, sure, Hard Rock Stadium was built on a sacred Native American burial ground. and many of a fan have long believed that the ghosts of the Tequesta Indian tribe continue to haunt our fins. But there is no way that you can convince me that even the angriest Tequesta warrior chief would have chosen Cam Cameron over Mike Tomlin. Because, listen, curses are not real, fellas, are they? I mean, they can't be real, can they? As much as I try to cast away the notion that some magical spell has been cast upon our beloved Miami Dolphins, I sometimes wonder if it's me that has been cursed. But no, curses aren't real. Sure, I was only 6 months when the Dolphins dominated the Purple People Eaters in Super Bowl VIII. But hey, they've hoisted one Lombardi trophy in my lifetime, didn't they? And an attempt to use empirical data to assure me that I can't be the cursed one, I can tell you that Miami never had a losing season during my tenure working for the club. They assembled a 77-51 record and had a run of 5 straight postseason appearances and 3 postseason victories per. It's not my fault that Ricky Williams retired just weeks after I left the organization, is it? Juice, yes, don't answer that one. Yes, don't answer it, Juice. And it can't be my fault that in the 22 seasons since I left, the team has gone 162 and 195, winning just 45% of their games under 7 different head coaches, including Nick Saban, Cam Cameron, Tony Sperano, Joe Philbin, Adam Gase, Brian Flores, and, of course, Mike McDaniel. Although if anything screams curse, but no, curses are not real, fellas. Or at least that's what I keep telling myself. And besides, this level of self-importance is not only embarrassing, it is way too millennial for me, but then something recently shook me to my core. On April 28th, former Dolphins wideout Eric Ezukama dove into the tank. 3 days later, Eazy-E caught his first touchdown of the season, and the DC defenders won their 5th straight contest to become the toast of the league. I was hooked. I was all in. These guys are the defending UFL champions. They're dominating the league. I instantly became a DC Defenders fan. I deserve a winners, right? I geared up, okay? I followed. I subscribed. I'm all in on the Defenders. And since that time, guess what's happened? The Defenders, they dropped 3 in a row. Their star quarterback, Jordan Te'amu, the reigning UFL Bowl MVP, yeah, he suffered a season-ending injury. But curses, they are not real, fellas. Look, I've seen my Florida Gators win back-to-back hoops titles in the Billy Donovan era. Multiple football championships when the ultimate curse buster, Tim Tebow, blessed Gainesville. And just recently, they captured another championship ring on the hardwood. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't matter that I intentionally chose not to watch a single game of that season because I didn't want to get in their way. But I'd also like to point out that the most recent success our Dolphins have had was during the 4 seasons I was doing post-game radio. Okay, Juice, Travis, and I had a record of 37-31. We made the playoffs twice. We fed a 70 burger to those damn Denver Broncos, and we put Tua in the Pro Bowl, for crying out loud. So, yeah, perhaps I've taken a cleansing bath or two in my day, maybe a peek into a protective mirror once in a while, and maybe the ultimate uncrossing begins with Sully and ends with Half. Who knows? The only thing I can tell you for sure is that I am not hexed. I am blessed. I'm blessed to have an amazing family. I'm blessed to spend this time with you guys every Wednesday night. Shoot, Juice and I won a damn Emmy, and Chad Van Horn has a Mirrorball trophy, okay? So now it's time for the Miami Dolphins to do their part. And don't be alarmed when Malik Willis wraps his hands around a ball named Wilson. So cast away all your doubts, because curses aren't real, fellas. I tried to tell y'all.
There we go, baby.
I feel like Seth needs a darkness retreat with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe we'll take care of this non-curse.
I might consider the darkness retreat, but you can't send Aaron Rodgers. I ain't going
to. That's too that good. That's really good. Maybe
just get his itinerary so you don't have to be with him.
Yeah, I cannot have that crossover. Right. That's for sure.
Good stuff, Seth. Man. Cast away. Cast. I love it, bro. That's great stuff, Seth. Yeah. Great job, boys. As usual, man.
Can we do a quick runaround, though? Like, I believe in curses. Anybody else?
You know, maybe. I can't rule them out. Let me say that.
I'm superstitious.
I'm 3 for 3 now. Kirk.
Here's the funny thing. I believe in them on me, but not necessarily on teams or anything else. That's very bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm careful with curses for sure. So I I think Seth, I think you're outnumbered here, but hopefully curses don't exist.
No, well, curses are real.
I'm gonna tell you what, my family, and you can watch my kids, watch us walk down a sidewalk.
Oh, yeah.
We don't split poles. Yeah, we don't split poles. If one person goes to the right, everybody goes to the right. One person goes to the left, everybody goes to the left.
See, Juice, I haven't done that since I was down there in Miami with you.
Right.
And that's why you're cursed, Savak.
That's right. If you didn't do it when you were down here, that train might have.
That's right.
Might have been a different story.
Well, gentlemen, this was a lot of fun as always. Everybody in the chat, we are grateful. We hope that you're subscribing to not only the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, but the Fish Tank YouTube channel, following us on all the socials and all of that stuff. Perk, yeah. Hell, you can get Perk in any, you know, just jump on YouTube.
Turn on your YouTube channel. Just Perk.
That's right.
I love it though, Perk, man. You're a popular dude, man. You know what, Perk? You bring so much greatness, honestly, you know, great stuff, you know, inside the building stuff for us, man. And that's important, bro. And it's so much fun. All you guys bring so much to the table, man. So it's a lot of fun, man, for us.
Yeah,
so.
I'll say this, man. I love being on here. Like I said about the 72 Dolphins, I love those first Dolphins teams that I covered in 2000 and 01 with OJ and Seth Levitt in the media relations department. I'm glad to carry on relationships, so I'm glad to be on this show. But it's a lot of fun. That's the other bottom line. Love being on here with you four, but it's a lot of fun. So yeah,
he's right. Buttering us up. He's buttering us up.
Yeah.
Look, he still wears our shirt, so I feel honored.
There we go.
And Perk is good on all those shows, but he's at his best when he's in the tank. So we're gonna leave it at that. That's how what we're gonna do. Juice, it's damn near 10:20. You know what time it is. Get us out of here, man.
Yeah, everybody. Thanks for diving in.
Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dolphins, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.